Oh, we've done this.
Thank you.
morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James on this beautiful New Year's Eve, and it is wonderful to have you with us worshiping God together today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened,
all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, you have shed upon us the new light of your incarnate word. May this light enkindle our hearts, shine forth in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered the sacrifice according to what was stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he has seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who was of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. And at that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So according to popular understanding, Jesus was about 33 years old when he passed away on the cross. His ministry was about the last 3 years of that time, and before that, those 30 years are almost completely silent in Scripture. There's not much written about them except for the story of Jesus as a teenager in the temple and the story of Jesus being presented that we had today. But that doesn't mean that others didn't try to fill in those missing years. As the scriptures were being collated and prayed about and figured out what was going to be the canon, there was a lot of letters that had been floating around, written for specific purposes. And one of my favorites, which never made it into the Bible for good reason, was the Infant Gospel of Thomas. Sometimes you might see on the internet that there's a hidden gospel that has just been discovered about Jesus as a kid. It's not hidden. We know about it. It's just not very good. And I'll tell you why. There's a couple stories in there that try to make points that don't line up with the Jesus that we know. One of them tells the story of Jesus as a little boy, and he's out by the river and he's building a sandcastle. He builds this great sandcastle, and a couple of the children in the village come out and kick his sandcastle, and Jesus gets mad, so he smites them down with lightning from heaven. I'm kind of glad that's not in our Bible. The other one is when Jesus is a teenager, he gets a Greek teacher, and the Greek teacher begins to teach him the alphabet and starts with Alpha, and then it ends with Omega, and Jesus, as a precocious teen, says, "So what comes before Alpha?" And the tutor says, "I don't know what comes before Alpha." And Jesus says, "Well, if you don't know what comes before Alpha and I do, I'm not taking any lessons from you." Again, I'm pretty glad that these aren't in the scriptures, because we'd really have to reform our understanding of who Jesus was as a person, as our Savior, as God incarnate on earth. Yes, it's tempting to think that Jesus was all-knowing and all-powerful and could smite people down if he broke his sandcastles, so pony up and help us fix the roof of the church. But that's not the messages that we have. Instead, what we're left with are these beautiful stories of Jesus being presented in the temple. This story is wonderful in the sense that it is such a common occurrence, and yet in it, it has some of the most beautiful poetry that I've ever heard. So Jesus and his parents come to do what's required of them by the law. And I love that line, what was required. Not above and beyond, but what I have to do. Every firstborn male child was to be taken to Jerusalem and presented in the temple. This was a common occurrence. There would have been a line of people waiting for their child to be presented, their sacrifice to be accepted, and then they can go home and get on with the rest of their day. But when Mary and Joseph bring this little child to do the very same thing that has been happening all morning and will be happening all afternoon, we have two stories of people who recognize God doing something amazing in that moment, in the everyday occurrence, in the normal happenings of the temple. They see something amazing. The first one I want to talk about is Anna, who is a prophetess who had been in the temple a long time, a faithful soul, and whose words we don't have recorded. We don't know what it is that she was saying to the people at the temple when Jesus was presented. We don't know. It just says that she spoke to many about what was happening. I'd love to have some hidden manuscript where somebody jotted that down so that we could preserve those words. But we don't. Instead, we're left with this figure at the beginning of Jesus' life who proclaims in a way that's never recorded, in a way that many of us will never have our words written down in books or collections of the good deeds that we've done for others disappear into the ether of the world. And yet Anna faithfully proclaims what she knows is God's presence on earth, in a way that's similar to the way that we do, trusting that what we put out into the world, God can use in ways that we can't even know or imagine. It's not the words themselves, but it's the caring that we put behind it. And so I often take comfort knowing that the little deeds that we do, the good things that we say, the way that we use our lives to point towards Jesus, will continue to build up the kingdom of God long after we are gone. The second character is Simeon. And he says what I think might be one of the most beautiful poems in all of the New Testament. For those in the BCP crowd and the retired clergy sitting in the pews, you'll know it well as the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. It's a beautiful line. It is absolutely a stunning piece that speaks about the chain of faith. And not a chain that binds or holds us down or that locks us to the ground in some unfortunate way, but the chain that connects us from what was to what is. Simeon was expecting to die. He was waiting for the revelation of God's Messiah so that he could call it a day. He didn't know how Jesus would fulfill the words. He didn't know how Jesus would cure the lepers or how Jesus would die on the cross. He did not know that. But what he knew was that in some way, somehow, God would carry out God's plan. That this little child who was at the beginning of his life and still a good 30 years away from starting his ministry would do great, powerful, and amazing things that would change the world. One of the things that they don't tell you when you get into this line of work is the incredible moments that you'll come alongside people. I have been blessed to be with people sitting on their bed where they'll take their final breath. I've been blessed to meet with people in marital crisis, to have conversations and to try to find common ground and to work on counseling. I've met with people in the midst of spiritual distress. And sometimes these journeys go on a lifetime, and sometimes they just disappear. And it was so hard to be with somebody at a critical and powerful and amazing moment, the moment of a new baptism, the moment of someone's last breath, and then to never know how that story ends. I think that's fair for all of us. We can wonder how the story will continue, how the things that we do, how we point to God, will carry on after we're gone. But Simeon gives us an image of hope. He gives us an example that we can trust in, knowing that the end of the story, how that will work out, will be in full fulfillment of God's promises, that justice and peace and truth will reign, that joy will be present. And in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the tumult and the frustration or the health concerns or the family problems that holiday seasons always bring about, we can rest comfort knowing that we might not know exactly how the story will progress, but we know how the story will end. We know that God's word will be fulfilled in some way, some shape, somehow, that the promise of peace, the promise of salvation, is something that we can trust, is something that we can rely on, is something that we can rest assured in. Doesn't mean it's always easy to believe that. It doesn't mean that doubt is far from us at all time. But Simeon knows that this little child will be the fulfillment of God's promise to him, just as Christ will be the fulfillment of God's promises for all of us. And as we come to celebrate this Christmas, because we're still in the heart of the Christmas season of the church, let us recognize what God is bringing to birth in our lives, and knowing that it is part of the chain that connects us to the past and links us to the future, where God's realities will be made known, and that all will find peace under the shadow of God's wings. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered in Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
But invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
As we celebrate Jesus being born among us, let us pray in the presence of God that the church may truly be the body of Christ in loving servanthood, humility, and availability. That as pastors and teachers, prophets and evangelists, givers, carers, and listeners, the whole people of God may make Christ known. O come, let us adore him. That the world God loved into being and placed in our care may be valued and respected, and its resources fairly shared. O come, let us adore him. That every family may be blessed and guided through all the troubles and chances of life, supporting one another in love and forgiving one another every day. O come, let us adore him. That there may be food and shelter enough for each person on this earth, comfort and practical help for all in need, and peace of mind for the worriers. O come, let us adore him. That the dying may be at peace with God, and that those of our loved ones who are separated from us through death may know the joy of heaven. O come, let us adore him. That our praises and thankfulness may be bright as meadow flowers springing up wherever we walk. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have
sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart, we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may be light to your will and walk in your ways, with glory and glory.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. God of light, in the birth of your Son, we see your glory. May we who share in his mystery grow daily in your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who in the mystery of his incarnation was made perfect man. Of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, in him we have seen a new and radiant vision of your glory. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices and sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And Then we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. Happy are those the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let us pray. Source of truth and joy, may we who have received the gift of divine life always follow the way of your Son. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power works in us,
infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And may the God of infinite goodness scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thanks be to God.